Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast. My name is Katie Stoll.
That's what they call it, and that's what they call you. Hello, Katie Stoll.
Hi.
My name is Cody Johnston.
Cody Johnston. Joining us today, our friend, our colleague, Maggie. Maggie just barks, but it's not
doggy.
Maggie. It's David Bell. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, hi, hi.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for having me on.
Gosh, thank you for being here. You're such a great contribution. I'm always relieved. I'm like, oh, Dave this week. Okay, great. Not that all of our other guests aren't also great, but
that's what I heard.
But I'm better.
I know you.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm adjusting. It's so fun getting to meet people through this medium between this and worst year ever. But I always get nervous because I want to do it right, you know?
Yes.
It's people that I don't really know as well as you.
After a while, when you're not yourself, like I don't feel like I'm myself when I'm on microphone anymore. I'm close to myself, but I'm a protected version.
Yeah.
And you can sort of hide behind it.
Yeah.
When there's like a guest that makes you nervous, you're just like, nah, me, whatever.
Absolutely. It's a little character.
I'm doing a show. Yeah.
Before we get started, I want to wish everybody a happy World Vegetarian Day. Cool.
Ooh.
I'm a vegetarian.
I'm one of those.
We're all vegetarians here. That's wild.
Yeah.
We are?
Cody, you are pescatarian. Well, I guess I do sometimes
eat
fish.
I also eat pepperonis on pizza pie.
Okay, you're not a vegetarian.
But those
you
are the
avoid
only
eating
things.
You avoid eating meat, and that's the important part right now. Because being a vegetarian is good for the environment. What do I know?
Oh, I was just gonna say, people, you do what you can.
You do you what
know?
You can. Yeah.
You know.
You do your best. No judgment. Even eating less meat is good. I'm not a vegetarian because I think people are bad for eating meat. I am a vegetarian. Well, because I don't emotionally, intellectually like to do it ever since I was a kid, but also because of the environmental impact. Mm. And it turns out that reducing your meat consumption is the single best way you as an individual can reduce your impact on climate change. And I don't mean that in the pushing the individual's action is more important than corporations bullshit, because obviously that's not true.
Too
but,
late. I've interpreted as
no,
that.
No, don't. Hear the words
Sorry.
I'm speaking,
nope.
Not the words you inferred from me. Mm-hmm. Beef production generates massive amounts of greenhouse gas emissions from their farts.
Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of water, too. A lot of water.
Takes a lot of water.
Yeah.
A lot of pasture land, which means there's deforestation and other reasons why it's good to eat less meat that require more time and research than I'm willing to prep right now. look, just Google it. There's lots of reasons. Also, a happy belated International Podcast Day to all of us podcasters.
Ooh. Oh, we don't need that. We don't need that holiday.
We don't need
Throw
that holiday.
Every day is podcast day.
It sure feels like it, doesn't it?
When every politician in the world has a podcast, every day is podcast day. Like Hillary Clinton has a podcast now. Come on.
Did you call her Killary?
I said, I don't think so. If
we
I
hear
did,
what we
want to
hear? I don't know.
Maybe you're hearing
I apologize. Later. Speaking out loud is me. Hi. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Even More News. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare premium membership for free at Skillshare.com/news.
An extra what's up, how's it going to you, followed by a thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Even More News, the show you are listening to at this moment. For 10% off your first month, go to BetterHelp.com/evenmore.
Dave, how are you doing today?
Not terrible.
Hey.
I had a really nasty cough for a couple days, and now it's going away.
It wasn't the Rona?
So I am... No, it was not. I knew it wasn't when I have the asthma.
Oh.
And everything's on fire. Like,
there's reasons.
Yeah. So it was to be expected. And I've had to go to, the clinic or ER because it's gotten so bad in the past. And around this time of year, it starts acting up. So I was happy that this one is now going away.
I'm happy for you. That's a relief.
Yeah. Therefore, I'm in a good mood because things aren't, the worst.
What's
in my lungs?
Interesting. It's not interesting. I've probably said this before on this show. Whenever I'm even like a little bit sick, I hate it so much. of course. But it makes me value and appreciate when I'm feeling healthy even more. You know, like, it's kind of how good things don't exist without the bad things, that juxtaposition. Can be grateful for being ill. I don't know. But I always feel great after.
Yeah. I don't do this because, or I've been trying not to do this because it's very bad for you. If my lungs get bad enough, if I go to the clinic, they'll like give me a steroid shot, and it gives you energy. And it's the only thing where you'll actually feel yourself get better instantly.
Yeah.
Like, your lungs will just clear up magically within minutes. And so it's almost an addictive feeling.
Oh, yeah.
To be like, oh, my God, not only am I suddenly healthy feeling, but I'm on steroids. I want to get stuff done.
I would probably be very much addicted to that.
Yeah. It's like, any like steroid nasal spray. I'm like, but I couldn't breathe through my nose, and now it's clear. It was instant medicine is very dangerous.
It is.
I just heard that sentence to the tune of Instant Karma.
Instant medicine is gonna get you,
but I'm not gonna sing it.
It's gonna knock you right on your feet. Okay,
before we get to the news, because there's so much news,
it's a lot of news.
Oh my goodness, more news than I can prep, honestly. We'll see how this goes, but there's a lot to get to. I want to talk to you about phone banking. I know that we've all been urging people to start phone banking, to text bank, to send postcards, to do whatever it is that you can. Yeah, I've started phone banking. I've been doing a couple sessions so far for Mark Kelly in Arizona. If you guys are familiar with that race, he's running against Martha McSally, who lost her race last time, but then when John McCain passed away, she was appointed. So this is actually a pretty winnable. This would be an exciting seat to get. Mark Kelly is a former astronaut. He's married to Gabby Giffords. But I wanted to share this one story.
Astronauts are so funny as this. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I wanted to share this story either as inspiration, advice, I don't know. But I am frustrated by the number of people, percentage-wise, you don't actually end up talking to that many people when you're phone banking, that I spoke with who aren't undecided but don't want to vote for either, who do not feel motivated to leave their homes during a pandemic to vote or to deal with whatever obstacles they have to get to cast their vote. And I spoke with this one Hispanic man, and he was driving home, and he literally had to put the phone down or hopefully just stop talking. Hopefully he was on his Bluetooth or hands-free something or other, but because he was passing through an immigration checkpoint. And he didn't want to vote for Biden because he thinks he's not as bad as Trump, but just as bad, not going to get anything done. What does it even matter? Feeling very disillusioned. And we talked for like 20 minutes. And I asked him what things he cared about. You know, we talked about the border and what's happening there. And he was very worked up saying, like, do you think Joe Biden will make a difference on this? And I was like, I actually do. I actually do think that Joe Biden would make a difference on, especially on this specific issue, for no other reason than Democrats are the party of people who care about others versus conservatives who are about protecting your individuality and protecting wealth. It's, you know, more like every man for themselves. And they can be cowed. We can protest. We might not get the exact thing that we want, but it will get better. So I can promise you that there will be steps made to improve that situation. You know, and we talked about this for a long time and back and forth. And eventually, you know, I made the case that another 4 years in this country will be unrecognizable. And it's hard to get enthusiastic about this candidate, but the alternative is unthinkable. And he's better than the option. And that is a really disappointing rallying cry that we have, but it's true. And by the end of this conversation, he said, well, you're right, I guess. He is better than Donald Trump. And I was like, can I count on you to show up and support? And he's like, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe was about as good as it was going to get. But that took a lot of work. So anyway, I share this kind of long-winded story to encourage you to phone bank, that you might encounter a lot of this, and talking to the individual about the issues that matter to them and showing why this is at stake and hammering home that point is ultimately what I'm seeing to be the most effective.
Yeah. And you can just, like, you know, you just, you start with 000-0001, hit call and give them a piece of your mind, and then go to 000-0002. That's what I do. And I just call, I just mash numbers and give them a piece of my mind. That's what phone banking is, right?
That's phone banking in a democracy. Yeah.
You mash all the algorithms here, the combinations.
See, that's freedom. No, that's called freedom.
Yeah.
You can bother anybody. They can't do anything.
It is. There is an easy case to make for Joe Biden at this point. So, yeah, I think it's great what you're doing, because, you know, it takes a few moments, well, not a few moments, but a day of these people's life to vote for him. And if he's elected president, technically speaking, he'll be the most progressive president we've ever had. That doesn't make him the most progressive politician or anybody's first choice. But, like, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
That direction being away from the terrifying ledge. Yeah, I think that's a good use of time. I think it's important.
Also encourage people, you know, like I said, it's hard. It's hard to get excited about Joe Biden and all that, except that I'm excited about not having Donald Trump, which is very exciting.
Yeah,
proposition.
It's a big motivating
factor
for people.
But I think that a good way to go about this personally is to focus on states that might turn blue, that has a tight Senate race, because that is as important to me as, it's hard to say as important, but it is. It ultimately, if you want to get stuff done. And so you're kind of killing two birds with one stone if you're calling on behalf of, to get the word out about Mark Kelly, but you're also calling to get them out to vote in general. You're talking about Joe Biden as well.
Right.
So, it's,
yeah,
it's,
get Lindsey Graham out
to me,
and get an extra vote for Joe.
Exactly. To me, that's a better use of my time than just campaigning directly with Joe Biden. But whatever works for you guys is my point.
It's like if you have a bad cough and then you get steroid shot. Like it's better to have, you know, not been sick in the first place. But that feeling of getting rid of something bad and getting a little boost of energy, even if it is artificial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've started feeling good about the election, about voting for Joe Biden. It's not, again, I do not like him, but just thinking about his policies on climate change and things he's willing to be pushed around about, and the fact that we can bully him and that he's not Trump. And it's like,
there's,
you
plenty
know what?
There.
That sounds fucking fantastic to me.
Yeah, I mean, compare it to, and I've sort of thought this generally. I remember back in March, so many conversations like, are you going to vote for Joe? It's over. You going to vote for him? It's like, what are you bothering people about right now? It's so off-putting and really, really is obnoxious and ineffective. And I just knew, like, don't talk about it now. In 5 months, when it's a month out from the election, a lot of people are going to naturally come around to just wanting to get rid of Donald Trump. Like,
yeah, a lot of people aren't going to be able to fucking wait to vote
for like,
Joe.
The passage of time is like the voter outreach, really, that's the most effective. But yeah, we can get excited about getting rid of the guy. Democrats love caving. Won't it be so great to get them to cave on something? Although
it feels so good. Feels so good. Let's talk
tiny hopes
about the debates real quick.
That song,
we?
Tiny, Tiny Hopes for a Living. Yeah, Tiny, Tiny Hopes for a Living. All right, go ahead.
I'm not tracking on this one. We did a whole post-debate episode on Worst Year Ever that you guys can check out. Or not. I don't know. It was pretty intense.
It's chaotic.
It's chaotic.
It was delightful.
Okay, good.
Are you kidding me?
I was hoping that it got edited down to something palatable. But we didn't talk about it here. It's still very much on my mind this week. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear your thoughts on it, Dave.
I burst into laughter several times during debate. I think it just broke me because it was exactly the kind of shit show that I thought it would be.
What we all knew and hoped desperately wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
I didn't think Joe Biden did particularly good.
No, he didn't. Matter.
It didn't, but it didn't matter. And what surprises me is that I feel like most people think he did do good.
Yeah,
that does surprise me.
I've seen a lot of people, and I think it's just that I what's most important is that Trump did extremely bad.
Yeah,
extremely. He looked bad. Like he was moist the whole time.
That's such a gross word to choose. But yes.
And he seemed like he kind of reddened throughout it. And like, even though he's trying to be like a troll, and like Joe Biden did get upset, he didn't seem like it really didn't feel like Trump was being like, was leading everybody around.
He was trying to, but he wasn't succeeding at it.
It came off really obnoxious. Like,
yeah.
Not.
It's hard for me because this is, of course, this came on the heels of that conversation I just mentioned. So to me, watching this, I had that as a lens that I was looking it through, like reaching and appealing to people who are put off by both options. Yeah. And to me, it's alarming how much air Trump was allowed to suck up on that stage. And Biden did not, to me, present himself as being great. He didn't seem like an asshole like Trump, but he, you know, was flustered at times. But of course, how could you not be? How could you not be with that happening?
A lot of whiffs.
The how can you not? I mean, you can easily be. I know.
I like, could see Warren not being flustered
well,
up there,
like,
or
it's
Bernie.
And you know, Bernie's not a great debater. I don't know how he would have done either. But like, it's just it was a bleak display because it's easy. It's so easy, and I feel like I said this before, even about 2016, like, it's very easy to beat Donald Trump. He's so unlikable, yeah, and wrong, and a liar, and he's obnoxious, sure, but it actually is pretty easy to, like, stay calm around that if you know what you're going into. It's not a surprise that Donald Trump was interrupting him and being, like, a liar.
No, of course not.
Obnoxious weirdo.
Yeah.
So the whole time I'm like, anybody could have done better than this. Like thinking about the primary, we settled on a guy who just is not doing the best. But again, it's like,
yeah,
we've talked about comparatively, sure. But it's just an indictment of our current political situation that the best we could do is that guy, right?
Yeah.
It's a bummer. To think about during the primary is how he was the person who got dunked on until Bloomberg showed up.
Oh, God.
And it was like, Bloomberg, you're the new Biden.
Right.
And it's like, why? How did he become?
And it's just enough time to,
I think people are irritated enough with Trump that, again, I see people lashing out. Like, when he told Trump to shut up, I thought that was really bad.
Me too. Yeah. But
it
played well, didn't it?
Oh, Trump really got under his skin and he broke him.
Me too.
Yeah, it played well.
It's like, I guess we're having a cathartic release when you say the thing we're all thinking. But
right.
I cringed at that moment as well.
Yeah, me too.
But people seem
to
like
people
it.
Seem to like
people
it.
Seem it's to the... like it. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand why. But
it's 'cause
sure.
What else do we got, right?
I want to mention a couple of the things that we liked about Biden. We did this on the other episode too. But again, we're here on this show. Meant a lot to a lot of people, myself included, that he was so sincerely talking about drug addiction and,
yes,
and your family members. And I said that, it's that affects all of us in some way, most of us anyway. And it was important and something that we shouldn't forget. You know, it speaks to the fact that, you know, like an empathy in him. There's something that I know that people find appealing in every man because that's something that they can relate to in their own lives.
Yeah. Well, like it's anytime comes off as a human being. I have problems when he talks about like healthcare is a human right. And when he uses his like family situation to be like, see, healthcare is a human right. It's like, well, you don't.
Right.
It feels kind of gross. And like,
I don't
care for that. But when he does, he talks like he actually like loves his family. Right. Like,
right.
Regardless of the political implications and like what he's done his entire career, he talks like a human being who has like normal feelings about his family. And when you contrast that with Donald Trump, who clearly does not, I think that's very effective.
I'm sure someone told him, he's going to insult your wife. He's going to insult your kid. He's going to insult your family. And so you either need to, you need to defend that some way. Right. And it could have been very easy for him to call him Buster and say he's going to knock him in the jaw or something. Instead, he went the route that I think that was the highest point, because like you said, Katie, like a lot of people, including myself, have been affected by that. And it's a real, like, the fact that he said exactly the right thing.
Yeah.
The most compassionate and human way of addressing that.
Yeah.
And that would appeal to a huge amount of Americans on both parties.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge
one. It's a big deal.
And I think his lowest point was, like, the bad apple stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When it talks about cop, like, yeah. It's very clear, but I think that most Americans are going to be with him on
that. I do too. That was my exact thought process of, like, I don't like this answer at all, but I do know that that's probably politically appealing to some of the people that, I mean, the smear campaign against him, he's the Antifa, he's the radical left. He is going to defund the police versus they are the law and order party. So it probably was important for him to toe that line. But like Robert pointed out on Worst Year Ever, at the same time, he did not disavow Antifa, you know, he did not condemn them. So that was something. Yeah, those were all good. And of course, there was the Proud Boys stand by comment. I think that's important to mention that. I don't want to go into a lot of unpacking here because there's other stuff to talk about. And we've talked about this a lot. It's been pretty scary. People already at early voting locations are seeing people, Trump supporters, with their guns. My friend who lives in Texas showed a picture of just outside of their city hall, a bunch of MAGA people with guns kind of threatening the council members going in to vote on something. Right. So that is truly happening.
I also think that, I think you guys talked about it in Worst Year Ever, but the question of, is it good that the Proud Boys are being mentioned or bad? I think it's good. I think when I call my parents now, they seem to know who the Proud Boys are.
Versus,
And they know that they're insidious.
Yeah.
And that was surprisingly huge. I mean, he briefly, briefly turned Scott Adams.
Is he back again?
Oh, of course. No one bought that for a second. He's a clown. But
like, Scott Adams' problem wasn't, I can't believe he's a white supremacist. His problem was, I can't believe he whiffed the question.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is it is true, like watching the Scott Adams video, he's not wrong. I mean, he's an asshole and he's Scott Adams and he's ultimately wrong.
Right.
But in that video, he's just like, it's money on the table. Yeah. What are you doing?
Oh, right. Well, he was right in that. It was like, he did a bad job. Like, he's not.
You did a very bad job, Oh, his reasoning seemed to be like, I've ruined my reputation supporting you, Trump, and you can't even answer this question. And it's like, I can see why you'd be mad, Scott Adams, for being this wrong.
Yeah, you
for
do
so
appear
long.
To be very, very wrong all the time, don't you, Scott Adams?
Yeah.
glad your morality is kicking in.
Right. But people didn't... the point is that people... That's what made the news. That was all over the news.
Yeah.
That was the thing people noticed. You know, Biden had the refusing to answer the thing about the courts or whatever, which was like one of those things where I got frustrated, like, just answer a question. But like, ultimately, the thing people are talking about is fucking Trump, his taxes, and the white supremacists, because that is shocking. I'm surprised. I don't understand why, after he said that, they didn't stop the debate and say, okay, we need to talk about this until we've resolved
it. Oh, God, I know.
They just move on.
Well, he was like, just completely, he bowled over Chris Wallace. Which brings me to the next thing I wanted to mention, which is that there has been a change in the debate rules for the remaining debates. This is from CBS, quote, the commission that oversees the general election presidential debates said Wednesday it will be making changes to the format of the remaining two debates. One key change it plans to implement, cutting off the microphones of President Trump and Joe Biden if they break the rules, according to a source familiar with the commission's deliberations. The plan has not been finalized, and the commission is still considering how it would carry out the plan. Trump's campaign is not happy about it, of course. Tim Murdaugh, the communications director for the Trump campaign, criticized the commission for the forthcoming measures. They're only doing this because their guy got pummeled last night, he said in a statement. President Trump was the dominant force, and now Joe Biden is trying to work the refs. They shouldn't be moving the goalposts and changing the rules in the middle of the game. I'm pretty sure he broke the rules in the middle of the game.
Yeah. Also, after the first debate, he complained about how his mic wasn't in 2016. Mic not working.
I think that's interesting and embarrassing that it has to happen, but good. We talk about the worst year ever.
We talk about it all the
just
time.
Just cut him off.
Every debate, not just between these people.
No, I mean, right. Even in the remember all those primary debates? Wild.
Sadly.
Yeah, it was a problem then. I saw somebody tweet, I don't know who, how amazing it would be to have someone record the audio of his cutoff mic. Just capture whatever it is he said.
Poor
I don't want to hear it, but
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, I don't want it, but I... Yeah.
They should do that for every single one. Because wouldn't it just be them talking and then suddenly going, son of a bitch.
Motherfucker.
Like, you know, yeah. It would just be like these exclamations and swears of frustration. Right. I think what makes probably, I don't know, it's sad that it has to be a thing, but it would be really nice for them to do that for us, the people watching.
Yeah, give us a little treat. Like we're all tuning in. Yeah. You got our fucking eyeballs glued to you. Give us a little treat.
I don't know if you're watching basketball. I'm watching basketball for the first time in my life during these finals, and I think it's really interesting. I mean, what they're doing with the whole season there, it's working. It's incredible. We've talked about that here before, but it's interesting. Every so often, they just cut to the audio of the players on the court, and I think it's very interesting. You're like hearing their little comments and jokes, and it's a very different world because it feels so polished when you're watching it from like a spectator version. Is this related? I don't know. You guys made me think about it.
No, I think the connection is that, like, obviously it's a debate, so like. You know, they got to be on their best behavior, but I can see a politician being nervous about the idea that your mic is sometimes on and sometimes off. And it's like, just don't say bad shit.
But you know he would.
Right.
And that seems like the same with basketball, as if it was a player and they're like, by the way, we might randomly listen in on you. It's like, oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
You have to just act a certain way the entire
constantly
time.
Constantly have a hot mic.
We're going to take a real quick break for ads, and then we're gonna be back and we're gonna talk about more really great stuff.
Ignore everything before this ad. Time for a tone change. Hey you, do you want to learn new skills, deepen your existing passions? Wow, I'm really angry here. And get lost in creativity or productivity? Skillshare is an online learning community where millions come together to take the next step in their creative journey, with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and, you guessed it, even more. The classes are $10 a month and are designed for real life and creative endeavors, which some would posit are the same thing. After an online animation class for a plugin called Duik, some more news viewers were shown the glory of Snoofle Doofle, Professor Seeds Von Greasy, and Mr. Maskey. And just you wait, after taking their class called Simple Productivity, How to Accomplish More with Less, you'll see our new hero, Captain Do Stuff. Skillshare's classes are streamlined and easy to use, and their teachers are quite helpful. Which is why Skillshare is a proud sponsor of Even More News. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/news and get 2 free months of premium membership. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started and join today by heading to Skillshare.com/news. That's Skillshare.com/news.
Hey, you jamokes, you ragamuffins. How you feeling? You okay? Fine? Not great? Bad? Well, if you don't have your company's Gold Plus Platinum healthcare plan, Maybe BetterHelp Online Counseling is right for you. You can connect safely and privately online with a professional counselor. Anything you share is confidential, and if you're not happy with your counselor at any time, you can request a new one who specializes in depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping, grief, and more. You can communicate with them via all of the devices available in 2020 with all of the apps available in 2020, as well as devices and apps from previous better years. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/evenmore. Fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor. Start communicating in under 24 hours. That's betterhelp.com/evenmore for 10% off your first month. And we are back as promised for even more news. We're going to talk about Trump's tax returns. But first, I wanted to mention a story that most of you probably overlooked because I'm not seeing it around. And this is this deterrence story. Earlier this week, Channel 4 News broke the story that in 2016, Trump's campaign targeted Black voters to try and deter them from coming out to vote. Channel 4 News has exclusively obtained a vast cache of data used by Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign on almost 20 million American voters. It reveals that 3.5 million Black Americans were categorized by Donald Trump's campaign as deterrents, voters they wanted to stay home on Election Day. Vast in scale, it contains details on almost 20 million Americans among more than 5,000 files, which together amass almost 5 terabytes of data, making it one of the biggest leaks in history. And this is from The Guardian. Key to the Trump victory was putting off Black voters in cities like Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In one city ward where 80% of its 1,440 voters were Black, almost half of 44% of the ward was marked as for deterrence. In Michigan, a state that Trump won by 10,000 votes, 15% of voters are Black, but they represented 33% of the special deterrence category in the secret database, meaning Black voters were apparently disproportionately targeted by anti-Clinton ads. Gross. That's
gross and not shocking.
Expectedly gross.
It is wild that we aren't talking about it.
Yeah, it just
floated by everybody's radar.
Because there's just so much. There's so much happening. I don't know. It's
one of those things like it's unsurprising. It's gross. It sucks that it's the kind of story that would like be it would be a huge story any normal time. But it's just a thing that like I barely saw it mentioned anywhere.
How did they make the determination? Were they just targeting?
I think that these are just, you know, they targeted Black voters. Minority voters, but largely Black voters in states that were key for them.
They're just encouraging apathy with them, right? It's the thing. It's the, we're not going to get you to like Trump, but we can bum you out enough to feel like there's no hope and it's all the same. I think that was Trump's tactic during the debates, by the way, is I think he knew that he's not going to win. He can't say things to make people feel good.
No.
He just can't. What he can do is he can say things to make people feel either angry or hopeless. And so if he can grab Joe Biden and drag him down into the abyss, too, then that's his only hope, right? Like, looking at poll numbers and stuff. So, like,
yeah. And I think that this story just represents there's many different manifestations of voter suppression, of trying to suppress the vote, discouraging the vote, to tramp it down. And it's just another example of it. I believe I'm sitting here scrolling through Twitter trying to find the tweet that I just saw before we were recording, but I believe it was Wisconsin that is closing down some of its major polls, ballot drop-off places today. I might be wrong about that. But, you know, it's just all part of this insidious picture that we're seeing develop right now. And it has been around for, this was 2016, but, you know, it's just a hint of what his tactics are here.
If they can convince minority groups that it's not worth it, that Joe Biden is, you know, it's all the same, or maybe worse, but probably all the same. And combine that with the fact that, we're going to have our Proud Boys out there making sure you vote right. it creates a situation where it's just like, again, it's his only hope. It's Trump's only hope at this point, which is making it so that people just don't feel comfortable going out to vote and also feel like it's not worth it anyway.
Important to say that it just, I mean, who knows, but it doesn't seem like that's working. I mean, I know I've talked to you about my stories and my fears, but so far, early voting and returns on mail ballots, Democratic voters in key states, their ballots are just pouring in, and it's making them really nervous, apparently. You know, and I've got this quote, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has reportedly twice met with Trump to urge him to stop bashing mail voting because he's worried that the president's rhetoric could stop Republican voters, especially elderly ones, from sending in their ballots. It's just biting him in the ass.
Yeah. It's also,
I was just going to say, also Joe Biden, one of his biggest strengths over people like Bernie Sanders was that Black voters voted for him because they saw him for 8 years with Obama and they really appreciated him during that time. Yeah. Or at least there's articles about that, about them talking about this is why we support him. So I don't think it's going to work.
I don't either.
This time. I don't think something like that is going to work. Not I think that they like Joe Biden.
Other things like militia at the polls.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they seem to be trying to do.
Like just as if it see were, what sticks.
Yeah, it's interesting because like they're doing 2016 stuff. They're trying to do 2016 all over again. Maybe that's going to work. I don't know. But it doesn't quite fit Joe Biden. Although it's like some of whatever, we're not going to talk about a lot of that stuff. But like they're doing 2016 stuff and a lot of Joe Biden is doing like 2014 stuff. Like no one's really campaigning in the year 2020 when we're in the middle of a pandemic, which is weird. But maybe the fact that they're both kind of in different years will work out somehow. Yeah.
Trump is also in the wrong year. I think Trump has a disadvantage in a lot of ways because everything he campaigned on in 2016 was what's happening right now isn't working.
Right.
You need this guy to shake things up. And he's been trying
to
do
it. He's still trying to do it. Like,
he's doing the same thing where he's like, you're going to get violence. Look at this, all this violence. You need Donald Trump. And it's like, but you're the president right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
I just want Joe Biden to be on that stage and be like, you're the cause of this violence.
Yeah.
It wasn't violent.
The president.
He's not the cause of it. I mean, he is. But this is also about.
All he can do, all Trump can do, again, is appeal to people's worst feelings and say, look how angry and miserable you are now. Vote for me because I'll make that go away. And he can't do that.
No, he can't.
Yeah. He made everybody more miserable, he made them angrier. Yeah. That's what happened.
All Joe Biden needs to do is show up. That's it.
It's a real bummer.
I want to pivot and spend the rest of this episode talking about Trump's tax returns.
Ooh.
Speaking of Trump being in other years, I don't know. That's not a great transition. It's wild that this news only broke over the weekend because it already feels like a million years ago to me at this point.
Right.
But last weekend, the New York Times broke the stunning but not surprising story that they attained years of the president's tax returns and revealed a lot of things. a lot of things that we'll talk about. One of the things is that the president paid no taxes in the past 10 of 15 years. And in 2016 and 2017, he only paid $750. Not $7,500. $750. Yeah. He's also in a massive amount of debt, and it's unclear if he's going to be able to pay those debts.
Nah, he'll figure it out.
As the president wages a re-election campaign that polls say he's in danger of losing, his finances are under stress, beset by losses and hundreds of millions of dollars in debt coming due that he has personally guaranteed. Also hanging over him is a decade-long audit battle with the Internal Revenue Service over the legitimacy of a $72.9 million tax refund that he claimed and received after declaring huge losses. An adverse ruling would cost him more than $100 million.
We did a some more news video about who stands to gain from Trump's presidency. Yep. You remember that? And one of the things in the research that became clear was, well, it certainly can't be Trump because he's not making, like, he's using the presidency as a real estate scam to, like, get the Secret Service to, like, and people to stay at his. So, like, that can't be it, right? Surely that that amount of money isn't worth
that
it.
He's making and during this time. Out, yeah.
Yeah, it turns out he's super
needs that money. He needs that money, which is a crime, right? I mean.
Yeah, it turns out that there might be, if he gets elected out and Joe Biden goes into the White House, he might find, like, the plates and silverware missing.
Oh, 100%. They're stealing things. Like a
he's just like a Florida man. Like that classic, like, news Florida man, like, just grifting
grabbing what he can.
100%. The article, the whole thing is really long and dense and filled with juicy, horrifying details. But one of the most horrifying elements of this article to me, and kind of the thrust of the article, is that a lot of what he's done is actually legal. I mean, there are definitely things in here that aren't legal. But on a whole, it speaks to how fucked up our tax code is, that it allows for the wealthy, you know, to just continue to hoard their money and not give anything back to the government or the people that helped them make their money. It's just full of examples of, you know, property depreciation equates to a loss, you know, and you can write off that loss and then the government gives you money. I'm no tax person. I am confused by taxes, but this is a thing that wealthy people are able to do.
Trump isn't wrong when he said, oh, Joe Biden, you and Obama are what allowed this. Doesn't mean we vote for Trump.
No.
But, like, he's not wrong that's a problem. Yeah. He's exploiting
it. Very interesting, the framing of it all, always, because again, like, Trump, he's just the spotlight. He takes advantage of the things that are wrong with our society and it lifts them up, and his existence points to them, but he also has no interest in solving those problems. He just wants to exploit them. And, like, it's just I keep seeing, I'm glad you're, like, we're talking about this aspect of it, which is, it very easily slips into, like, Trump's a fake billionaire. Look at the poor man. He's actually secretly poor. Look at the poor dumbass. Like, well, the problem isn't that he's a fake billionaire. Like,
it's that
he was able to, like, that society allows this to happen.
The system exists. Also, we don't really know what he has, totally from this. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of.
Right.
With all of this depreciation, this stuff. Like, he repeatedly claims losses.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
he's been gone bankrupt like 5 or 6 times or something. It's like, if Jimmy Carter, like, demanded that he get to keep his peanut farm because he's in massive debt. And they just, like, let him.
And, like,
poor guy.
It's, again, not just the tax avoidance that he's done here. It's the fact that a person this in debt and fucked up financially got to be president.
Unbelievable.
Like, that should never even, like, it should be one of those things where when he's running for the nomination, there should be a point where they should be like, he is not qualified. We have to disqualify him because his financial records show that he is a liability to the country.
So, like, bankruptcies affect most people, and what they can do, like, shouldn't that be, I don't know, something about whether or not somebody should be in charge of our country negotiating deals
and having his fucking businesses still
on top of that, another person I'd love to see them do this to, not that it matters, is Mike Pence. As we pointed out in that video, Mike Pence's brother said he was down to his last, like, couple thousand.
Unbelievable.
When
I forgot
he accepted
about that.
The presidency.
I forgot about that.
Mike Pence was in debt.
A lot of debt.
It is the silliest grift ever, which is, oh, God, we need money.
Let's be the president.
We're
the president
so
and the vice
dumb
president
for letting this happen. They're both
just vloggers. Like, Pence is like, like, college radio show, and then, like, Trump vlog, and it's like, all right, we gotta get the president to make our money. Sorry, Katie.
No, I just want to we're almost out of time here, but I want to go through some of the other things in here because, you know, that's fun. It's important yeah. to highlight that while, you know, he only paid that $750 here, 2016 and 2017, that's not true internationally where he's got real estate internationally. In 2017, the Times writes, the president's $750 contribution to the operations of the U.S. government was dwarfed by the $15,598 he or his companies paid in Panama, the $145,400 in India, and the $156,824 in the Philippines.
Still not paying enough.
Still not paying enough, yeah. but he's paying stuff there.
But I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Presumably he doesn't have as many properties there.
There's a lot of, if you go to the conservative subreddit, there's a lot of tax experts on there right now doing some work.
Heck yeah.
To explain to justify all
yes,
this.
They are.
$70,000 to style his hair. I'm uh-huh. sure you guys have seen this. That's wild.
Yeah.
Actors don't even get to write off that shit.
Yeah.
You know, and all the different lavish lifestyle things. Another thing he's done, paying family members as consultants, like Ivanka. Mm. He paid Ivanka nearly $750,000, which reduces his taxable income by treating a family member like a consultant and then deducting that fee as a cost of doing business. But she also was an employee of the company. Like I mentioned, the IRS is auditing a $73 million tax refund. Like I said, I don't really understand tax stuff, but apparently he wrote off a casino as a complete loss despite having gained money out of the bankruptcy, which is what I guess set off right. this audit. But basically it's looking like he's going to owe $100 million to the U.S. government.
Yeah.
And that's outside of the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he owes to Deutsche Bank.
Yeah.
Personally responsible for within the next 4 years, which is an incredibly important thing to think about because he will be personally responsible for these loans during his next yeah. term if he wins. I mean,
the stuff with his daughter, I think, is the stuff that they're like, this could be illegal, yeah. right?
Yeah, it could be, but be. I've I also mean, seen people time. Being like,
oh no, it comes down to either Trump is a brilliant businessman and successful and is cheating his taxes
right.
horribly, or he's ridiculously I mean, in debt and lost.
Neither way looks
and,
good.
And the Trump administration seems to be constantly switching back and forth from those
yeah.
narratives.
Yeah.
Defending on their defense. It's
yeah,
that's what they do.
It's hard to track.
Yeah.
But, you know, this, I don't know. We've talked about all of this stuff isn't surprising, like I said. And that what I'm about to say isn't a unique thing. Everybody's talked about he just wanted to make money, you know, raise his brand by running. But a lot of this kind of points to that as a person in need of elevating his brand to get an influx of cash. And, you know, and I saw this news story being shared with that grim looking faced picture of him on election night when he won and everyone's celebrating and he looks so morose. You can't help yeah. but think of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
How many people are in America? How many? What's our population?
I think the official 40, number is a lot.
Million above three.
Okay.
Three.
What if we all pitched in $5 or $10, and we said to Trump, "We will all give
we'll
you this money if you just resign."
Just bribe him to leave.
Yeah. Just go. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We'll say you're the best president. We'll throw that in. That would do
just
it,
like
right?
A sign. We sign it.
I mean,
yeah.
So like best, 330 million people.
XOXO us.
Yeah, and everybody gives them $5.
Or just like everybody agrees, like if you go away, we'll pretend you're rich. We'll believe
yeah.
you. We believe you.
You're the most billionaire.
Yeah,
the biggest billionaire. Let's wrap this up with a couple fun stories. I don't know if you guys have fun stories or if this is even that fun, but I saw it and it seems like a lighter way to end the episode. In Ireland, their Supreme Court ruled today that Subway bread can no longer be legally considered bread.
I was hoping that's how you would finish that sentence.
Sugar.
Yeah.
It's too much sugar. And again, I don't know things about taxes, but I guess there's a tax value in selling food that's classified as a food staple.
I mean,
and
that
it's
checks
not.
Out.
And it does check out. I haven't had a Subway sandwich in a long time, but that bread is poison, and I always felt itchy when I ate it.
There's someone made a tweet about this, and I wish I could credit them, about how amazing it is that Subway convinced everybody that eating an entire loaf of bread was healthy.
It's not.
Because, yeah, it's not. Yeah, I mean, all their vegetables, there's something terrifying about how all their vegetables
the lettuce,
taste exactly
yeah.
the same.
It's cringeworthy, but there you go. It's a junk food.
It's fast food. It's just that, like, you know, when you eat at Taco Bell, you feel it.
You know exactly what's happening.
It's like almost, yeah, there's almost something like creepier about Subway because it's like fresh simulation where it's like it all tastes like it's kind of fresh and crispy. But you know that it's been shipped across the country. And made
right,
how does it taste the same everywhere?
Its flavor is fresh and
chemical.
Quotes.
But its flavor is chemically.
Right, yeah. It's like, oh, it's got that.
I won't lie, I want
now.
I want
now we're
right
all
now.
Salivating for that Subway sugar rush, I guess.
Subway sugar rush. Surely the worst thing to happen to Subway's brand.
Right? Uh-huh.
Ever.
Yeah.
The worst public story about Subway.
And then I've got some fun animal stories headlines. Bee populations are increasing in many states. That's really good.
Yeah.
Really good for me because, there's something wrong around my house because I keep finding dead bees. There were three on my steps to my house this morning. But just remember the first thing I said because that's more uplifting than what I ended with.
Yeah, that's more. They're talking about more than three. Like
way
the,
more
the populations
than
more than three,
but that's just today. I can't.
Yeah.
I see a dead bee out there every day.
Hives.
There's something wrong. There's something happening in my neighborhood.
You got some negative bee energy.
But to another animal story, there was an emu running loose in Massachusetts City, but they apprehended him with a pair.
Where in Massachusetts?
Massachusetts City, wherever that is.
Wait, Massachusetts City.
Yeah, that's what the headline said.
Is that a city named Massachusetts City?
I don't know. I just didn't.
I know there's a city named Sandwich because everybody loves how there's cars that say Sandwich.
I got to say that there is a real good chance that that it was a Massachusetts city.
Yeah.
Okay. There was an emu running
What's
loose
the Massachusetts
in
city?
A Massachusetts city.
Haverhill.
I want to. Where?
Haverhill.
I don't know where that is. Never mind. That's probably like Central Mass where it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's like
clearly they've got emus running
North
around.
Haverbrook, like those kinds of,
And exactly.
Finally, in fun animal news, in a British zoo, parrots were removed from a display for speaking obscene language.
Ooh.
Yeah, I love these parrots.
What did they say?
So good. I didn't say.
Oh, come on.
They They said some pretty rude stuff.
They're like, hey, show me your pussy.
Stuff like
Wait,
that.
Really?
They were calling names. They're calling the people watching names and stuff. It's one of those things where you gotta, like, if you're running a zoo, you lean into it.
Yeah. We got the foul mouth birds.
You charge extra.
But now our...
You charge extra. You ID people and you say, like, okay.
That's
no,
the adult
the filthy parrots.
But instead, cancel culture rules again.
Like
and
that,
those parrots have been axed.
It's
I hope they haven't been axed, but they're axed as...
You go to these restaurants and the waiters are mean to you on purpose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's... In Chicago, there's a hot dog place where, like, these teenage girls would get harassed at bar closing, so they just started being like really mean back, and it became a thing where it's like, now just go there and you get verbally abused by like young women like
God
call you an asshole and stuff. Yeah, let's just have the parrots like teach them more stuff. Here's what you do. You teach them more and more stuff. You breed the parrots and then every year you let some of them go. So there's just asshole parents
like
it.
Flying around
in the
just,
wild.
Like, yeah, shitting on people with their
words. God, 50 years from now, we've got some fucking apocalypse where
I love
parents are terrorizing smoldering. Everywhere.
Be amazing, like the last human alive.
Yeah.
Like looking at the charred horizon to see a parrot call him
suck
a dick.
My dick.
And then he dies. Yeah.
That seems like a great place to end this episode. Dave, tell everybody where they can find you. Plug what you want to plug.
Sure. I'm at Twitter at Movie Hooligan, but I also have a Patreon of my own. My own podcast network. It's Gamefully Unemployed. If you go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, you can see it or check out Story Mode on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It's movies. It's movie stuff. It's not
politics. Diversion. It's a diversion.
So
great. Check them out.
Yeah.
I just want to say this is a hard time, but we are definitely gonna get through it.
Yes,
we are.
No, I agree.
We are.
We just gotta put in the work for the election. We'll do it. And we're more than halfway through the pandemic.
Yep.
Hopefully, again, if we just do the work, we do the work. And this time next year, we're all watching Avatar 2.
Really, truly, you know? In a theater. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are looking for hope right now. And I think it's there. It's hard to see sometimes
because
the pain is all around us so much, and it's hard to avoid. And there's grief and more news stories, but there is a strong current of hope. There are things that we've said throughout this episode that point to it. I mean, the fact that the mail-in ballots are coming in so strongly for Democrats, you know, the fact that
they're coming in very strongly,
very strong. Shut up. Yeah. You know, like there are positive things happening. I am bolstered by all of you. I'm bolstered by this community. I'm bolstered by the changes that I'm seeing in people's personal lives. I mean, I'm thrilled by, I mean, Instagram's become hard to bear right now. You don't know what to do or what to post, but everybody that's listening to this show, you know, you guys are probably big news people like we are, and you're really plugged in. But in my life, at least, I'm seeing so many people wake up. And
yeah,
and that's incredibly inspiring and uplifting for me.
You know who's great is the kids.
Yeah,
it's like there was a study: 1 in 4 like Zoomers personally knows someone who's non-binary.
Yeah,
it's the debate is over for the younger generations. They all believe in climate change. They're all, you know, like they're gonna come to our age and they're gonna eventually inherit the world.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be the bitter, weird old people trying to slow the progress. But you know what? They're better than us and they're gonna be smarter than us. We're gonna be all right.
I do think that.
It'll be
so
fine.
Hang in there. Please keep doing everything you can, but take care of yourself. And I gotta say, we love you very much.
Very much.
End of episode.
Perfect.